This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Father, I thank you that no matter what we're going through, no matter whether we fail, you always pull us in closer. You never let us go. Thank you, Father, that we have safety in your love. And that you are always there for us. You're always waiting for us. And when we cry out, even like Peter, when our faith fails us, you are there to catch us, that we will not drown, that you will pick us up. And we thank you for this. We thank you that we can come into your presence, and we pray that you will speak to us through your word, Holy Spirit. That you will soften our hearts. And you'll give us understanding that we may have the life that it purposed to produce in us. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Just want to encourage the small groups. I know most of you are busy with curriculums and so forth, but it'll be great if some of you from time to time, if you can just let us know who's doing what, when, that we don't do it all in the same time, but it'll be great if we can actually go to the police station from time to time and just take some hot chocolate and coffee and rice and stuff, and just go bless the police on duty. They're taking a lot of criticism from all over. So it'll be awesome if we as a community from time to time can just go to them. Thanks, Chris, for that coffee that was there for them and the fire brigade and all the emergency personnel. But I think as we as a community from time to time can just go to the duty room and just thank the policemen for their sacrifice. You know, they put their lives at risk for us all the time, and sadly all that they normally hear is criticism. It's a real great motivator to put your life at risk and your family's life at risk, because they live within the community. So sometimes we forget. So I want to encourage you, we're going to start something from the church's side, but until we do, maybe just as a small group on a Wednesday, instead of having a small group, just go to the duty room and just go bless the officers on duty. Just get to know them. Spend some time with them and ask if you can pray for them. I think it will mean a lot to them. But this morning I want to continue with what we started off with a couple of weeks ago in Romans chapter 8, where we read of this powerful promise, great reality that we have in Christ. It says here, for many of us are led by the Spirit of God. These are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. And the Spirit himself bear witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Such a powerful verse that encourages us and speaks about who we have become in Christ, our identity. And we spend a lot of time around who we are in Christ, and that's amazing. It also speaks about our inheritance, that we are not just saved, redeemed, but we have become children of God, and not just children, but heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And then this other part that few preach on is, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. So there's really four things there: identity, inheritance, suffering, and glory. And in between those three aspects, inheritance, which also speaks about our identity, is inheritance. And in the middle between inheritance and glory, we find suffering. And so last week we started to look at how to deal with suffering, not to be overcome by or to give up hope, but how to live through suffering. And how does the Word encourage us to deal with suffering? Now, last week we spoke about the first thing that will help us to deal with suffering is to understand that God is greater than our suffering. God is greater than our suffering. He's greater than our suffering in two ways. First of all, there's nothing greater than God Himself. There's nothing greater to have than God. There's nothing in this life that we can lose that is greater than God. And if we understand that God is greater than anything that I have, I am also willing to be able to lose anything for Him. Because He is greater than anything that I can lose in this life. And the other aspect that of God is greater than our suffering is the fact that God is greater than our circumstances. In the midst of our suffering, God also promises no matter what happens that He will turn it for our good. So God is greater than your circumstances. No matter how bad or bleak it is, God is greater than your circumstances because He is able to turn it for your good. Now, that's the first thing that will help us as Christians, and the Word encourages us to endure suffering. So the first thing to help us to endure suffering is to understand that God is greater than your suffering. Now, the second thing I want to move on to this morning, today, in how to deal with our suffering is a very small word, but very powerful. It's called endurance. The Word of God encourages us, when we face suffering, to have this. It's called endurance. It will help you to overcome and endure with endurance. Hebrews 12, verse 1 to 3, we read the following. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnare us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him who endured such hostility from sinners against Himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. So what does this endurance mean? It's such a powerful verse that encourages us to run with endurance this race that was set before us. It likens our spiritual walk, our spiritual life, as a race that was set before us, and that we must run this race with endurance to the very end. And as a matter of fact, we ought to look to Jesus as the author and the finisher of our faith as an example how He endured. And we spoke about that also, so I don't want to continue with this, but it is to encourage us lest we become weary and give up or discouraged and give in. So what does this endurance mean? The Greek word for this endurance, and I'm going to try and pronounce it, hypomonia, it literally means endurance, patient continuance. It means to abide under something and not give up. Abiding in something, under something, without giving up. It's this whole concept of endurance. I don't know if you've ever done an endurance race. And that's anything longer than 5 kilometers, if you run. If you're on a bicycle, anything longer than 100 kilometers. It's endurance. It's not just suffering for a short while, but it is suffering for a long while. And as a matter of fact, endurance races isn't endurance if there isn't at some point the motivation to quit. You're either too fit or you're not doing an enduring race. If you're doing a race of 10 kilometers and you're running this race and you've never had the point where you thought about quitting, then you must maybe do 20 kilometers. And if 20 is not enough, then, 14. If that's not enough, go run the Comrades. But that's endurance. Endurance only kicks in when there's a motivation. As a matter of fact, not even a motivation. Where there is enough suffering that you would consider to give up. Then it's called an endurance race. Otherwise, it's a sprint. Or a fun run. But for some of us, fun runs are quite endurance races. But it's when you have to patiently continue despite the suffering that it's called endurance. So this is what the Word of God encourages us to do when we face suffering, is to endure. is to abide under it and not give up. That's really what it means. Running this race until the very end. Hebrews puts it beautifully. It says, let us run with endurance the race set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself. Consider how he endured, lest you become weary and discouraged in your soul. This weekend I heard a rumor of Hendrik and Christopher running from Stanford, or running to Stanford. They were raising funds for their mission trips, so they decided to run to Stanford. And they had a whole support team, apparently, but they didn't last very long. The one fell off her bicycle and the other one had to take her to hospital. So the support team that was meant to provide them water along the way was never there. So they ran all the way to Stanford without any water. I think when they just entered Stanford, the water came. It's a bit late by then. So it was nice to hear how they suffered. But the point is, they endured to the very end. Even though there was no water, even though they were tired, even though they were not quite fit for this journey. But they had a clear goal, and that goal encouraged them to continue. Despite the suffering, despite all the things that they planned would go according to plan, that didn't go according to plan. They didn't give up, so I want to commend them for that. At least you guys are not pansies. They know that. Sorry, it's an office joke. They endeared to the end, dehydrated, over-fatigued, and hitting that wall. And everybody that's done endurance racing know what I'm talking about. When you're dehydrated, over-fatigued, and you hit the wall, and your body shuts down, and you have a choice. What are you going to do? Then you decide, you know what? I'm going to go on, regardless. There's a certain tenacity needed for endurance racing. But even those who love it, we need a goal to motivate us. Have you ever heard somebody says, you know, I need to enter a race to motivate me to train? Anybody heard that before? So many of us, you know, we need to enter a race to motivate us to train for the race. Because even training can be suffering. As a matter of fact, if you don't suffer during training, you probably are not getting fitter. You have to kind of push your body beyond its comfort to its extreme so that it grows. And so too, you know, when we compete, it's very helpful to endure the pain. If there's some goal, you know what, I've done stage races before where you cycle for 7-8 days. Non-stop. I hardly ever train like that. And I don't do that to myself. I don't train 8 hours a day. I just don't do that. But it's fascinating when you enter a race, you're willing to do 8 hours a day. And the next day, and the next day, and the next day, because all of a sudden there's a goal. There's a goal to achieve. There's something at the end. And so you endure far more than you would normally because you're now part of something that has meaning. There is a goal to it. And so the Word of God encourages us that we must see life the same way. As a matter of fact, it makes it very clear what the goal is. It's to be with God forever and ever. The glory, we spoke about that. That's the goal. Yes, we have an inheritance, but even beyond the inheritance, the goal is to be with God, to be glorified with Him. The glory is in between the inheritance. And the glory we find in between is the suffering. And it encourages us to continue to the very end. So let us run with endurance the race that was set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, the joy set before him. See, for the joy set before him, endured the cross. You know, in a race, suffering clarifies the goal. I mean, I love cycling. But in a race, it's not really about cycling anymore. I remember I did the Iron Bike Italy. I've already done the Transalps. I've already done the Epic. And then I did this race. It was something I did not think was possible. I mean, if you get tired of stage racing, you will do that. We did like 12 hours a day. It was insane. It took us up to the peaks of the Alps mountains. You can't cycle there, so you kind of cycle a third up the mountain, then you got to carry your bicycle. Like my friend used to explain to me, he did it before, he was a Brazilian. He said, you know what, you take your bicycle like Jesus Christ and you just walk up the mountain. So that's what we did most of the time. We walked up with our bicycles because you had to carry your bike for 3-4 hours to get to the peak so that you can go down again. But all of a sudden, it's not about cycling anymore. Because you're not even cycling. You're suffering so much, you're not even cycling anymore. It's not about cycling anymore. It's about finishing the race. There's something that motivates you to finish. So God encourages, you know what, there's something about a race and suffering that clarifies the goal. All of a sudden, it's not about the fancy suit or the nice juice or the scenery. People ask me, so how is the scenery? I don't know. When your eyes are bloodshot and you're sweating and dehydrated, you don't kind of appreciate the view. You know, it's not about that. It clarifies the goal. So suffering has the capacity to clarify the goal. What is this all about? What is life really about? What is my life really about? Why am I doing this? Why am I here? What is the aim of your life? What are you living for? Because in this life you will suffer. Suffering is part of this life. And it's very helpful to know the aim of life, the goal of your life before you suffer. Because it will help you to endure your suffering. But what is the aim of your life? Do you want to leave something behind? Or do you want to go somewhere? It doesn't have to be either or, but you know, so many times people focus so much on what they can gain in this life, they forget where they're going. They get so distracted, they get so focused on what they gain in this life, that it becomes so important that it is so difficult to let go of anything in this life, because unintentionally it became the meaning of life. So what is the aim of your life? Jesus asked this question. What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his own soul? The context of this is even more powerful. Here in Mark, from verse 34, he says, when he had called the people to himself with his disciples also, he said to them, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his own soul? What is the aim of your life? You know, suffering clarifies the goal of life in this way, because when we suffer, eventually we'll come to this question, does God really exist? If you suffer long enough, you will come to this question. First, does he really care? Does he really love? And then, if you suffer long enough, does God really exist? So suffering has this powerful way of clarifying what we believe and what we live for. And after we have answered this question, whether God really exists, the next question will come up, do I really want to follow Him? Do I really want to follow Him? Do I really want to follow His ways of righteousness? Because in the midst of suffering, it's not just the question whether God really exists, but whether I should continue to follow Him in His ways. Because during suffering, there are just so many ways out. I mean, I can tell a lie here. I can compromise there. I can do this and I can do that to get me out of this. So many times it's not just whether God exists, but whether I value His life, His way enough to continue in His ways, even though it means I might prolong my suffering. We see that as Satan tempted Jesus. Remember in the desert? I mean, let's just solve your hunger. As a matter of fact, why do you want to die on a cross for all the kingdoms of the world? All you need to do, look, I'll show it to you. All you need to do is bow, just compromise, just here. And you can be relieved. And so Jesus had to decide, not just whether God exists. Now, that was not the issue. The issue is, am I going to compromise? Am I going to take a shortcut to get out of my suffering? And so many times it's not just about whether God exists or not, but whether I value Him and His ways enough to continue to follow Him no matter what life may bring me. Now, if suffering clarifies the goal, endurance places value to the goal. That's what endurance does. Endurance is something that keeps me under this pressure, under the circumstances, under the suffering, for the sake of something greater. That's what endurance does. Suffering clarifies the goal, but endurance places value on that goal. You see, that's the powerful thing of endurance. Why do I remain under it? Why do I keep on believing even though I do not have the answer? Why do I keep on following Jesus, His righteousness, and not compromise? There must be a value to this. And that's the challenging thing of suffering, but also the beauty of it. Yeah, in Luke 14, now a great multitude went with Him, and He turned and said to them, if anyone comes to Me and does not hate his father and mother, wife, children, brothers, sisters, yes, his own life also, he cannot be My disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after Me cannot be My disciple. Jesus was radical. I don't know this modern theology that makes Jesus so accommodating. Jesus was radical. He was radical in His sacrifice. He was radical in His suffering. He was radical in the price that He paid to save you and me. And you know what He expects? A radical commitment. He says, if you value anything more than Me, you cannot be My disciple. Jesus was radical. If you love, if you value anything more than Me, you cannot be My disciple. And if you can't bear the consequences, the suffering, the cross of being radical for Me, you cannot be My disciple. Well, that's Jesus. He was radical. It's uncomfortable, I know, but it makes sense. Seeing what everything is given for us, He says, listen here, I'm not just giving you your life back, I'm giving you inheritance. I'm giving you glory. But if you are ashamed of Me in this adulterous generation, so will My Father, so will I will be in front of My Father of you. This is Jesus. This is not just take note, you're going to suffer. in this life because of me. No, embrace it because of me. Because in the end, you will have everything. And if you really believe, if you really value this, you will endure it for my sake. There's a reason to this, and we're not going to get to that. I don't want you to suffer that long today. But we're going to get there. My question this morning is, are you radical for Jesus? Are you radical for Jesus? It's a very important question because it will help you one day when you suffer for Him. Because the time will come that all of us is going to suffer for Jesus. And it might start off very subtle, just in a conversation with friends that do not believe. And we are tempted not to let them know that we believe. Or the conversation might expose the fact that we do believe, and then we need to make a decision whether we're going to acknowledge, yes, I believe in Jesus, or no, I don't know Him. But this is the reality of life. And that little compromise starts there. What are we going to do one day when we have to choose between our children and our following Jesus? It's not just one day there. If you go to certain countries, it's a reality. Every day. In some nations, if you convert, you sign your death warrant. And they do it with joy. Because they value something far greater. The question this morning is, are you radical for Jesus? Or are you like the rich young ruler? You want to be radical, but you can't pay the price for that. Something in your life is more valuable than following Jesus. Now, it's important for us to ask this question because this will help you to endure suffering for His name's sake. When you've already made that decision before you have to suffer that Jesus is the most important thing in my life. God is greater than anything in this world. God is greater than my suffering. And I'm willing to pay to be associated with Him because there's nothing that I can lose that is of more value than what I can gain to be with Him. And that's how the Word of God encourages us. The Word of God, as I said last week, was not written. The New Testament was not written in a time of prosperity. It was written when persecution was real and Christians were burned to death, killed for their faith, thrown to the lions in the Colosseum, slaughtered for their faith. Women, men, children, all together. And they did it worshiping God with such joy, with such conviction that the heathen got saved watching them die. Because they were radical for Jesus. They understood this. And the gospel spread powerfully. Because Christians were radical for Jesus. You know, that's when the gospel spreads. When Christians are radical for Jesus. When they call you a fundamental, fanatical Christian, and you say, amen. Do you know Jesus? Maybe you should come to church. Maybe you should give your life to Him. You see, being radical for Jesus means you not just love Him, but you understand what it's all about and that the kingdom is more valuable than anything else. If you are radical for Jesus, then the following point will make sense to you. Otherwise, it probably will not. But there's another thing that endurance does. Another goal of endurance is to become more like Christ through suffering. Now, this is a very difficult thing to speak of, but the Bible is full of that. That another aim of endurance is to become more like Jesus through suffering. Suffering has the ability to form in us godliness and Christ-likeness for those who value it. So it encourages us to endure suffering so that we can become more like Jesus. Here in Philippians 3 verse 8, it says, Paul speaking, "Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ my Lord." I'll say that again. "Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ my Lord. For His sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that which comes from the law, but which comes through faith in Christ. The righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, that I may share in His suffering and become like Him in His death, that by any means possible, that I may attain the resurrection from the dead." How powerful is that? You see, I think Paul was radical for Jesus. He was radical for Jesus. And therefore, he was powerful in his ministry. He was not ashamed of the gospel. Not simply because it's the power of God that leads men unto salvation, but because it was more valuable than anything else. You're only going to agree with this if Jesus is the surpassing worth of everything else in your life. Otherwise, it would be so difficult. The only thing going to be worth, and this is the only thing that's going to be worth it, it's the glory to become like Him and to be with Him. It's the only thing that's going to motivate us to suffer for Christ. The only thing that's going to motivate you to suffer for Christ is if becoming like Him and being with Him is more valuable than anything else that you can lose in this life. Otherwise, you will come to a point where it's not worth it anymore. And the Bible encourages us not just to suck it up, but to say, it's worth it. Oh, it is worth it. So therefore, when you have to suffer for Him, suck it up. Endure it, for that is worth it. And that's the Word of God. One of the ways to overcome suffering is through endurance. Romans 5 verse 1 to 5 says, "Therefore, since we've been justified by faith and we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through Him we have also obtained access by faith into grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit whom He has given us. See how powerful it is? You see how powerful it becomes? James says, "Brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience," the same Greek word, endurance. It produces endurance, "but let endurance have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." So the Word of God encourages us to endure suffering so that we can become more like Christ in overcoming. Because suffering produces something in us. It's called endurance. And if endurance complete its work, you will become mature. And that maturity means you will be more like Christ, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross. And that's what we are called to do. Endurance is always in the middle of spiritual growth leading to maturity. And what is this spiritual maturity? Being more like Jesus. In the Amplified, it puts it beautifully. "Consider it nothing but joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you fall into various trials, be assured that the testing of your faith through experience produces endurance, leading to spiritual maturity and inner peace. And let endurance have its perfect result and do a thorough work, so that you may be perfect and completely developed in your faith, lacking nothing. If Christ, His kingdom, is more valuable than anything else, it will enable you to endure whatever this life may bring and keep on going. Keep on believing. Keep on holding on to the very end. Because the end, the glory, is far greater than the suffering. To summarize, and you'll need a little bit of endurance for me to finish. To overcome suffering, you must believe that God is greater than your suffering. That's the first one. Secondly, you need endurance. And I want to end off with this exhortation later on in James. James writes, "So wait patiently, brothers and sisters, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits expectantly for the precious harvest from the land, being patient about it until he receives the early and the latter rains. You too, be patient. Strengthen your hearts. Keep them energized and firmly committed to God, because the coming of the Lord is near. Do not complain against one another, believers, so that you will not be judged for it. Look, the judge is standing right at the door. As an example, brothers and sisters, of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in my name, in the name of the Lord, as his messenger and representatives. You know we call those blessed, happy, spiritually prosperous, favored by God, who were steadfast and endured difficult circumstances. You have heard of the patient endurance of Job, and you have seen the Lord's outcome, how he richly blessed Job. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy." Don't give up under suffering. Finish the race. Finish it with endurance. The more you go through suffering, the stronger you will become. We will face it with great joy, knowing what it produces in you is of far greater value than anything that you can lose. So God receives the glory, and you become a witness to this world. And maybe, we will also die in a Colosseum. But may we die in such a way that unbelievers get saved, because they can see in us the glory of God. Our hope for it. Our value for it. How we long for it. I pray it will never happen to us. But when it does, be of great joy. God will give you the grace to endure it. But only if you value it. Only if you value it. Let us pray. Father, I want to thank you that you encourage us in your word not to give up, but to finish the race, so that we may receive the prize. That great prize to be with you. To be with you. And Lord, sometimes we are like that rich young ruler. We want to. But there is something or some things in our life that is of greater value to us. I pray this morning, Holy Spirit, that you will come and you will show in us if there is anything of greater value than you in our lives. God, I pray that you will come and expose it, and that we will have the faith and the love for you to lay it down. That we will put you first in our life. Lord, I want to thank you. Even if we fail, Lord, you are there for us. You will not let us drown. But God, I pray that this morning, Lord, that we will identify the idols in our life, the things of greater value. And God, I pray that you will give us the grace to let it go and put you first. Put you first in everything in our lives. So, Holy Spirit, I pray as each and one of us are here this morning, I just want you, I'm not going to do an altar call this morning. I'm just going to ask you to respond in your heart, just where you are. Just allow the Holy Spirit to come and shine into our hearts. If there is anything of greater value than Jesus, anything of greater value than His kingdom and His lordship and His glory, that He will come and expose it to us and that we will be willing to let it go. And place Him first. Put it second. Put it second in your life so that He may be first. I'm just going to give you an opportunity just to respond to God's word.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.